This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Friday, December 4th, 2009. You are listening to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters Podcast. My name is Bo Bennett. I'm your host for today. Ryan is out on a little trip, but he will be back someday soon. Anyways, we have a very exciting podcast for you today. We're going to be speaking with a Mr. Richard Stanley, and he wrote a very interesting article in the December 2009 edition of the Toastmasters magazine all about his icebreaker speech. And I know we had a bunch of requests come in from our listeners about doing a podcast on the icebreaker speech. So this is it. Here you go. Let's listen in to what Richard has to say. And I'm on with Mr. Richard Stanley. Richard, how are you?
I'm good.
Great. You wrote a very interesting article in the Toastmasters magazine, and that is the December 2009 edition called My Icebreaker. And I believe it is the story of your icebreaker. How long ago did you give this icebreaker?
About 3 years ago.
Three years. So you're definitely still not a rookie.
I would say it's more of an amalgamation of my first three speeches, tell you the truth.
Right.
So bits and pieces from all the most memorable parts from my first three speeches became that story.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's a wonderful article because so many Toastmasters, new Toastmasters, have a difficult time getting up there and doing their first speech. And as you kind of summarize in your article, you know, once you do it, you're excited about it. And you're like, yes, I want to go back. I want to do it again. But it's actually just getting the nerve, getting the courage to get up there and actually do it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that experience?
You know, the funny part is since I sent out that speech, I've been getting emails from a number of new speakers, and they all said that this is exactly what they feel. But I just remember when I gave out my first speech, I just didn't expect, like, a lot of the things that came up. Namely, you know, I wrote my entire speech, and I didn't expect myself to start paraphrasing things or thinking things on the fly when I first wrote it. I thought, oh, gee, it's going to be perfect, and it was more about the emotions that came up that I wasn't fully expecting to come up.
Right.
You know, I didn't expect how I would respond. You know, how paralyzing it is when you first stand up there and you just can't say anything, and just you look in there and you go, "Oh, just say something."
Right.
And you know, since then I've become more experienced, and I've watched a number of people give their first icebreakers. And it seems that they all universally experience all that, and yet they all think that they're the only ones that experience it. It was kind of an interesting. So that's one driving force behind me writing that article.
Great. You mentioned about writing your notes. Did you actually write it out word for word, and did you rehearse it word for word?
My first two speeches, I did that
because
I thought I would write it word for word, and I sat there and I made sure every sentence was perfect, and I was very proud of all my little sentences. But when I got up there, and I guess that was a very classic rookie mistake, because then you get up there and you just forget everything, you just start saying what you can say as if it was a conversation. And
exactly.
And that was an experience. That was something I didn't really fully realize until I started doing it.
So. Exactly. And you got to give credit to the international champions who have to basically do that, memorize their speeches word for word and deliver every single line with perfection. It's an incredibly difficult task to do, even for a 5-minute speech. So I heard you tried to throw a joke in there. What happened with that?
Oh, yeah. You know, you have this joke in your head that you think is going to be hilarious and that it's perfect. And, you know, you might even have said it to one or two people. And then you got a laugh out of it, but when you're up there and you just don't deliver it right, because half of the joke is most of the joke is delivery. And people just kind of look at you, and you're in your mental, you know, rehearsal of the speech, you had put a period of time in there to wait for laughter, and then there's no laughter at all. And you're like, well, I guess that's not good.
Yeah.
So it changes the mood for the rest of the, what you were expecting for the speech.
Yeah, it sure does. Doing a little stand-up comedy myself in my past, I know that the jokes could be hilarious. And if you're on that night, and if you deliver it, and you're in good spirits, people could laugh, and it could be fantastic. But if you're nervous, the audience will detect that. And the joke just is not funny coming from somebody who's very nervous or scared. You kind of feel sorry for the person. And if you do laugh, it's just kind of like a, you know, the sympathy laugh. I get plenty of those. And the audience that you delivered your first speech to, how were they? Were they kind of like a stand-up comedy audience that were just sitting there with their arms crossed saying, "Make me laugh, funny man"? Or were they?
They were a good club. I mean, it was a Toastmaster club. You're talking about my first speeches, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, they were very. They were good. I had a very large club, and they were very understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And they were aware that was my first speech. Actually, my very first speech, I was fairly successful about my jokes. It was a pretty funny situation, and I worked it a lot. But my second speech, I started hitting that.
Gotcha.
And I guess I lucked out on my first speech in that regard.
Right. Yeah, I was kind of setting you up with that one, Richard, because the Toastmasters audience is basically a very good audience, very sympathetic, because everybody's doing the same thing, so everybody's very supportive.
Well, I have given some presentations, professional presentations, and some audiences can make it very uncomfortable for you.
Right.
So you come to appreciate the Toastmaster audience greatly.
Right. And in your article, when you're talking about your icebreaker speech, you mention how you start to go and you get on a roll and you start to get comfortable and you're thinking to yourself, yeah, you know what, this is working. But then all of a sudden something happens. You forget something, you get nervous again, and everything goes downhill again. And I can't tell you how common that is, not even only with the icebreaker speech, but pretty much with every speech, you know, from that point on, it happens. And your analogy is perfect. It's like a roller coaster that goes up and down and up and down. And hopefully you just want to be on the roller coaster that just keeps on going up.
Yeah, I very distinctly remember that experience on my second speech. Yeah, mm-hmm. Things were going great, and then literally everything went blank. And I felt like I stood in front of the audience for an eternity while I was just trying to figure out what I was supposed to say. And I just remember, like, what can I do? Can I just leave? It was just a moment of sheer panic.
Right.
And then things started rolling again, and things were great. So
that's right. It's having the courage, really, to stay up there and just get your composure, even if it means taking an awkward few seconds to think about what you're going to do next, and then just go ahead and do it. Now, when you were up there, did you have a glass of water with you or something right by your side? No. Okay. Did your mouth get incredibly dry when you couldn't even talk, or did you not get to that stage?
I don't think I got in that stage. It's still like I felt every bead of sweat in my forehead.
Okay.
I remember that. And I just remember people looking at me saying, "Well, you could say something now." And I was like, "I wish I could say something right now, but
right.
I just can't think of it."
That's interesting, because it a lot of people experience the that extreme nervousness differently. Some people, like myself, when I get in that position, my mouth gets incredibly dry and I can't even talk. Other people start to sweat. Other people start to shake pretty much uncontrollably. So it's interesting how people show that that fear, I guess, if you want to call it that, of the speaking. So, Richard, having been through this somewhat painful yet rewarding experience of giving an icebreaker speech, what advice would you give new members who are ready to do their icebreaker speech?
Fairly recently, I just became president fairly recently, and then we had a number of new members, and they all seemed to want to relate their entire life history and their philosophy in life
mm-hmm.
in some way. And that's good. I mean, that's your first icebreaker. You're supposed to do that. But I think they don't realize how much they can say, how much they have to say, and how little time 5 minutes really is.
Right.
So I just tell them, you know, just say something that entertains them and just get up there and just start talking. Just come up with a story that you tell. Don't worry about coming up with something that will inspire people, because that, you'll learn that later on. And that's why you really just get up there. And I said, just say your whole speech. Here's my technical advice, was just to actually say your entire first speech out loud. mm-hmm. and try to keep it under the time limit. Don't worry about hitting your time limit. Just try to keep it under.
All right. Well, that's some good advice. Richard, thank you very much for taking the time to come on to the Toastmasters podcast and talking about your article. Once again, it is an article entitled My Icebreaker, and that is in the December 2009 edition of the Toastmasters magazine. I think it was wonderful because it really paints a vivid picture of what most Toastmasters are going through giving their initial icebreaker speech. And I would even dare to say what many Toastmasters go through giving pretty much every speech after that. Maybe not to that extent, of course, but of course feeling some of the things that you mentioned in your article. Very well written and very well done, Richard. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked it.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, and a good day to you, sir.
No problem. Thank you.
Well, that'll wrap things up for this week's podcast. So if you do have any listener feedback on this episode or any others, please do let us know. You can call our listener feedback voicemail line at 1-888-451-8862. Or you can send an email to podcast@toastmasters.org. Or you can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/theTM Podcast. We'd love to hear from you folks. Thank you very much for listening in, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody. Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.